We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's not.
Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panelists, Tommy Dean, Gary Eck, and Jennifer Wong. With the music this week, it's the Mexican mariachi maestro, Victor Valdez. And most important of all, our audience this week from Bulleye, Coldell, Mooney, Blaxland, Camden, and Mexico. But before all that, here is the news from nowhere. I've always defended men. I really have, even on International Women's Day. Your typical Australian male is loyal as a dog, hard-working to a fault, and is even willing to kill an invading mouse if push comes to shove and he can't convince his wife or 13-year-old daughter to do it. But here's the point. They could try a little harder when it comes to dressing properly. As we know, on this International Women's Day, there's a gender pay divide at work, but there's also a gender clothing divide. Where I'm employed,
just down there,
all the women are properly kitted out. Nothing fancy, nothing frivolous. It's clothing that signifies I'm a professional person and I've put a little effort into looking the part. The men, by contrast,
just down there.
The men, by contrast, look like they've left the house naked and then picked up a few rags along the way, possibly out of a skip. Surveyed en masse, they look like a bad amateur production of Oliver Twist. The leader of this crew, the Fagin to the many young Olivers, is a chap who I will not name, but will describe under the nom de plume of Rag Crewcastle. Now, Crewcastle, admittedly, is a long-time opponent of fast fashion. He regularly notes that Australians consume an average of 15 kilos of clothing each year, much of which ends up in landfill. I assume from the look of him, he's doing his bit by digging it up again. It's not that I'm advocating a return to the business suit and tie. That outfit was a weird colonial leftover, as if we were dressing for the wet winters of London or Manchester while living in the tropical heat of South Singapore. Men would sweat their way through each weekday, regularly inserting an index finger between shirt collar and neck to ease the hangman's noose, or to use its more common name, the business tie. Didn't you hate them? Now, after COVID lockdowns, anything other than pyjamas seems like high fashion to the men of Australia. The issue is not the women. They look great. Nor is it the gay men, although in my experience, sexuality is not an infallible guide to stylishness. Mainly, though, it's the straight blokes. Would it kill them when leaving the house to occasionally wear a pair of long pants, Craig? You know, like a big boy. It's not only the workplace. The same gender divide exists at the local club or pub. It's 6 p.m. on a Saturday night and the couples are arriving for a nice night out. The women are beautifully turned out. A colourful dress, an attractive pair of shoes, a bit of lippy to complete the picture. There may even be a handbag that matches the shoes. Next to them, waiting at the club's welcome counter, stands their life partner. He looks like he's on the way to clean out someone's septic. On a recent trip to a South Coast club, I noted the dress code for their quite fancy restaurant. It said, no lie, I have the photo, footwear required, shirt or singlet must be worn, no offensive clothing. In other words, you can wear a singlet and thongs, providing the singlet doesn't say, F off! Personally, I think that's a very low bar. Do we really need to see everyone's fat toes squeezed into a sandy pair of double pluggers and the armpit hair waving in the breeze? All this reaches its pinnacle when flying on Jetstar, an airline on which it seems illegal to wear proper footwear. I'd hardly be surprised if the captain wandered out in his smart jacket, pilot's hat and a pair of black thongs. I should confess, if it's not obvious, to you just by looking at me, I'm not much of a fashion plate myself. I have two pairs of tired dacks, 5 10-year-old business shirts, and a pair of black leather boots somewhat scuffed. Some looking at me would find me an unlikely advocate for maintaining standards. All the same, a post-lockdown report card is in order. Fellow Australian men, you are gorgeous. You really are. You may, however, be relying too heavily on the appearance of your toes, knees and hairy armpits. I'll whisper it. Let's occasionally, chaps, leave a little mystery. And that's the news from nowhere. I showed this to Craig today and he said, this is my good outfit.
I don't know. But I think you're right. I think it's you're doing the right thing. Because I think that's what we need. I think it's long been established that the reason that women dress well is for other women.
Yeah.
It's not for us.
Yeah.
And so we need to do the same.
Yeah.
It's time that we started to impress each other.
I was just dressing for you, Tommy.
I know. Yeah. I'm first off, you tucked in. Thank you. Nothing makes me more sad than a non-tuck, but knowing a belt is hiding underneath.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes the shirt is left loose in case that the stomach is mistaken for a loose billow of fabric. That's what we're hoping for.
You know, I got a buddy who lives in comic, Fred Lang, and he, one of his great bits is that he always wore his business shirts out. Mm. And he goes, because I ironed it all the way to the bottom, and I want you to see it.
Well, that's the sign of a real Australian man, isn't it? You always wear a jumper and you only iron the little bits that stick out in the neck area. Now, let's check that you're up with this week's news. Who is no longer in a league of their own? What's this about?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the NRL, which the rugby league, debuted in Las Vegas. I think it was debuted. I don't think they've been there before.
No.
There. And they played two matches. And it was, I mean, it's being hailed as a kind of success. I think they had, well, they had 44,000 people attend the match, which was pretty impressive. But the ratings were, I think, about 61,000 on Fox Sports.
Which is not much.
I mean, I think some college basketball game, like, smashed it. But they
don't expect Americans to like it. They're just trying to get the gamblers involved, aren't they?
I think so. But I mean, my solution is pretty simple. I think what we need is we just need Taylor Swift to dump her American football partner. Travis Kelce? Yeah, and just date a rugby league player. Mm. I mean,
which one would you recommend?
Well, look, don't be picky. Even the referee is a goer right now. I reckon maybe she just wears like a Rabideau's bodysuit or something, you know, that would, and she has to obviously sing new songs like I Love Yous All and stuff like that. I love yous, I love yous heaps. Yeah. What are you looking at? There's a new song that's coming out next week. Yeah, you what? You want to fight? Yeah, right, eh? Yeah. Yeah, nah is a huge song of hers. But I reckon, look, it would probably work. I'm joking, but it's a good idea. So. Yeah.
Travis, Jennifer Wong, what did you make of it? You know, a big effort.
Oh well, you know, as a massive sports fan, I think it's nice when Australia shares its goods overseas. You know, that's a lovely thing. You know, to extend the many talents that Australia has on the sporting field in a land which already has many of their own. Sports. It's nice. I have nothing against it. And obviously I've given it a lot of thought. I actually don't very know much about NRL, Richard.
We've also exported sports people to the UK. We found that they're very good at telling police officers where they stand.
I think this one really was a great idea because I think it was really for America.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it would be great if, as great things from other countries go in and remind them that another world exists. And that sometimes, if you get outside of America, things are, and I hate to use this because it's a big word, different. and so I thought it was fun. Because it's always small changes. Like, some people marvel. There were Americans marveling that the goalposts for rugby league, similar to the ones we use in American gridiron, but different. And they were boggled. How can they have goalposts, but they're different? I'm looking at them. I know they're goalposts, but they're not goalposts as I know them. That makes no sense. Anyway, same with the game. Like, it's like they've come out naked. They're just wearing their warm-up suit. Why? Where's all their crazy pads that make it safe again? These people aren't safe. That's different. Why are they running sideways?
But this was the quote that the NRL were dreaming of. They had all these quotes from these Americans saying, these guys make our guys look like wimps. That's what they wanted.
Mm. That's what they want, but that's also some people that have never watched Gridiron. I think you got to really understand both games. They're both tough. One's more anaerobic than the other. But if you want true car crashes, America still accelerates well. That's fine. We made a point of that's what tricked them, is that your goalposts are still on the front of the try line where you can crash into them.
Yeah.
Whereas America eventually worked out that if we moved them back, it would save some lives. But these are things we can learn from each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I thought was really nice is that it was, you know, looked like a great international exchange. Everyone was having fun. And then some great Australian casual racism came in to remind them it's the same on both sides. So good.
So
thank
good.
You, NRL.
So good.
We both struggle with that.
This is this is another question from this week's news. Who wants to give their passengers a rough day? Rough day.
This is the story of an airline, Virgin Airline, who would like their passengers to be able to bring their beloved pets on board with them. And
who thinks this is a good idea? Who's supportive? Who's against it?
No.
Whoa. Against wins.
Well, the way that people behaved online when this came out as a story, you'd think it was the largest catastrophe that had ever happened, like, in airline history. I personally think it's fine. I don't have any pets, but I have to say that some of the pets that would be traveling would have been to the salon and had their grooming taken care of better than me. So I think it's actually going to be fine. You know, there are already guide dogs and whatnot that travel on planes. I don't think it's as revolutionary as we think. There might be some upsides even. It might be easier for us to retrieve our bags at the carousel.
Still, people still feel hounded, though.
Oh, they would. They would. But there's no point in having a spitz about it.
Couldn't we just put the policy on pause?
We should just leave you two alone, I reckon. just pun away all you like. We'll close the door.
Is this a good idea, Gary?
I think it's a good idea. It increases the food offerings, chicken, beef or kibble. Would you like a bone to chew on? Yes, and one for my dog as well, would you mind?
They're going to put special films on for them, you know, Lassie.
Well, yeah, that's true. 101 Dalmatians. Oh, not again. I mean, I'm glad it's little dogs. Like, I'd hate to walk onto a plane and you walk in there and there's a Rottweiler sitting in your seat and you're like, I think that's my seat. Yeah. All right, I'll take the one at the back. You're fine.
And when you complain that the Rottweiler has put back his seat.
But they'd also have to, like, start asking you to, like, not bring other things. There's already a lot of things you can't bring on the plane. And they'd be like, is that a ball?
Yeah.
Oh no! If you drop that down the aisle,
oh, that's gonna
be chaos.
What's more annoying is is it a crying baby or a meowing cat? It's gonna be a double. Well, and the captain's gonna be interrupting constantly, going, "Oh, we have a little lost kitten last seen in row J. If anyone's seen the cat, could you please photo? Put that down now. I don't know."
I can't remember the flap.
Will they have a cat flap, do you think?
Richard's still in pun mode. He can't get out of it.
There's a bunch of dogs trying to stick their head out the window. Bonk, bonk, bonk. This makes no sense. Hanging out. But I saw, this was a couple years ago, when I was on a flight where they were raising money for the guide dogs, and so they had some of the guide dogs on the plane. And then as part of the promo, the staff walked down, and the captain of the plane was holding one of the guide dogs. Yeah, I know. It was a nervous flight. Nervous flight. That's all I have to say about that. But I think it'd be fine. I mean, I think it'd distract. I think ultimately it'll be a better distraction. Mm. You know, if babies start crying, then maybe we do send out the dogs.
Yeah.
Or the cats.
Or the cats.
You know. Or even, yeah. I don't even know if we draw the line there. I can see the captain going, I know you've seen the movie, but we are happy to perform that there are two very fine snakes on this plane. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Who apparently is automatically a bad person who is automatically a bad person.
It's cool. And these are the manual drivers, the stick shifters.
Yeah.
The real drivers amongst us.
They're under attack. I mean, there's an article in the paper that says they're all smug and terrible people.
It's a weird thing to draw the line on, and I hadn't thought of it myself, but then I cast my mind back, and they're right. They are right. There is nothing. You ever see them? You can see them when you drive up next to them. You pull up, and I've just got a classic old SUV, so I pull up my little family car full of soccer kids, and then you look over, and there's a young man, and you just see him, and he looks at you with disdain, and then drops it into first and goes. And you're like, how do you do that? He drove with the power of jerkness. How did he do it? I think a well-driven stick shift is nice. And I think they do have a right to say they are better drivers in a sense. They have more control.
Yeah,
but I do
you
also
can use
like,
it to slow down into the corner and then speed up out of the corner.
But I also like that the stick shift also has the opposite. If you're not good enough at it, you will be mocked by the entire car rabbit hopping. You get stuck between gears on Ocean Avenue.
We call it kangaroo hopping, but kangaroo maybe that's just us.
Trying to get up the hill.
But automatic cars do the same thing. I mean, you can accelerate around a corner. You don't need to drop it down to
first
gear.
No, but you have to brake to go into the corner instead of changing the gear down by one to get into the corner. So you get... I'm basically Jack Brabham.
Yeah. Look, if we were meant to drive manual cars, John Travolta would have sung about that in Greece. I mean, he explicitly said, this car is automatic. He didn't say, this car is manual. It's got four gears, you know. Why, it's hydromanual. That doesn't make sense. It's got to be automatic.
But what happens when you get the holiday job at the local and they've only got a stick shift geared car?
No, there are none. I've never ever.
Well, what about when you go on holidays to Europe and they won't rent you? They won't rent you.
That is true. That is. You got me there. Mm. Yeah.
But the best one, of course, was when you had an illicit, say, girlfriend when you were in high school who lived at the top of a hill, and her father would be alerted to the sound of you starting your car, but you could just roll it down the hill.
Yeah.
And then pop it into gear at the bottom of the hill. Yeah. That was the magic.
Yeah.
And
good, too, if the battery ran out, because you could roll start it, right?
At
the time in the 70s when no one's battery worked, Sydney was full of people circling around trying to find a parking place on a hill in front of a driveway so you could roll start the bastard. Well-known fact. Yeah. They're better.
It is true. I mean, I guess it would stop people texting and driving because you just can't, right? Like you can't.
But also,
the reason
why people are putting on their makeup and shaving and doing their hair and reading the financial pages and it's because they're bored, because they've got nothing to do, because they've got no gears to change. Right. So instead of that, they put their lippy on.
So do you drive a manual car, Richard?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because you're so adamant, wasn't he? He's like, that's the only reason he wrote this question.
Yeah.
No.
But I have to say, though, you also have better accoutrement, too, because I've got an automatic with the column shift in the middle, but, you know, it doesn't look the same. I've got the big chrome skull on it. But it just doesn't feel the same.
I was just about to say that I love how this was breaking news this week, or if you don't mind me saying, hand breaking news this
week.
Hand
breaking news. Tommy Dean, Gary Eck, Jennifer Wong on Thank God It's Friday. Now, an SBS show has been focusing on sleep this week. 4 out of 10 Australians, they tell us, have troubled sleep. Do you? And what's the answer to it? Jennifer Wong.
What I do is, in order to get to the Z's at the end of the night, I play an alphabet game with myself.
Yeah.
And it's easy. You can just, like, go through the alphabet and name an animal beginning with, like, the letter A, B, C.
Oh, okay, I can do that.
Yeah?
Aardvark.
Yeah, B.
I don't know.
Beagle.
Beagle.
All right, this is the rest of the show now. C, Gary?
Oh, my God, this is brilliant.
But sometimes it's too easy and I get to the end of the alphabet and I'm still awake. And so I make it more complicated. I might change it to an adjective and a noun and go through the alphabet again. So I'll be like...
Angry aardvark.
That's right.
Barking...
Beagle.
That's right. Exactly. And I
curious cat.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's just falling asleep now. The funny thing is, in the morning when you wake up and you think, "What did I get to last night?" And very often you will actually not have gotten to the end of the alphabet, despite eventually getting lots of Z's.
Mm-hmm. Is Z always zebra?
Yes, but it doesn't have to be animals, Richard. I'd like to broaden your mind. It could be anything. So sometimes I'll be like...
Biscuit brands.
Yeah, like try to put things together that make no sense, like...
Arnott's arrowroot.
Yes, or, you know, like ambitious accountant or beleaguered...
Beagle.
Beagle, yes, Tommy. You know, cheesy catamaran. Like, the more it doesn't make sense. It's actually quite entertaining.
I find this exhausting. I'd rather not sleep.
Maybe it'll make you so tired you will sleep.
Gary, did you share this conundrum?
Well, I mean, yes and no. It's funny because I do a few cruise ships, like gigs on cruise ships. I just go do I just go on a cruise ship.
Find a vein big enough.
Yeah. And I always have trouble sleeping on a cruise ship. And the last time I went, I'm not even making this up, I downloaded the Headspace app. Mm-hmm. I thought I'll listen to some relaxing kind of sleep sounds. And I kid you not, the first track was Ocean Waves. I was like, well, hang on a minute. Now imagine you're just rocking back and forth. Like, wait a minute, that's happening. But I do
imagine you've got vomiting problems from the buffet.
It's gastro now. Imagine. But, I mean, I do, I mean, these days as you get a bit older, that you do miss that teenage sleep. Like that ability just to kind of 10 hours straight. Do you just, you wake up, you haven't even moved with that iron cast bladder, you know? There's no getting up at 3 a.m. going, oh, I've got to go to the toilet. But you just went like an hour ago. I know, just got to go to the toilet. But now, I mean, it would be great. I see my kids and they can just sleep through anything, right? Hurricanes and just whatever. It's just.
It's weird we have that expression, isn't it? They sleep like a baby.
Yes.
You know, because you only end up sleeping like a baby again when you're 60 and you're getting up four times a night. And
yeah, well, at least someone's attending to you when you're a baby.
And urinating in your own pants.
Which can happen later on as well, yeah.
Why wait for later? Yeah. That's what I say.
Are you a bad sleeper, Tommy?
No, I put myself to sleep trying to work out how to properly express various mathematical propositions. Like tonight, I'll be like, well, you know, it's weird to think that 4 in 10 people don't get good enough sleep. But I wonder if 2 in 5 people don't get good sleep. What does that be the same? Starting to think that maybe 40% of people don't get good sleep.
Yeah, how many people get good? How many people
like
then get good sleep?
40 out of 100 people don't get good. That's 60 people getting good sleep. Yeah. That's good.
It's a lot of good sleep going
on. A lot of good sleep. Yeah. I mean, but then, what my problem is that I believe that I am part of the 60% that sleep well, but
you
I am married
bastard.
To one of the 40%. Yeah. So, and what's weird is it works out that she brings me to her side easier than I to mine.
Yeah.
So I'm slowly becoming the fourth of the 10. but yeah, it gets harder, and I think climate change is also changing that. Last night was very difficult to sleep. It was still 26 degrees, and I believe it was 108% humidity. That made it difficult. I tried to get up early. Now I get up early enough that it's still dark, but I get up and it's dark, and then the sheets have, you know, like sweat stuck to your body. So you get up, and then, like, I'm fighting my way to the toilet, and then I have this weird feeling that I'm in, like, a Roman Senate. Then I have this need to pass some laws that don't make sense. And then my best friend stabs me. So no, I don't sleep well. That's what I'm saying. I don't sleep well.
Are you ready for the wheel of death, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you. First of all, thanks everyone for coming. And if you want to be part of our studio audience for Thank God It's Friday, all you need to do is put ABC TGIF into your search engine and you'll see who's coming up and you can book yourself tickets, either the free tickets to come here to the ABC in Ultimo on an ordinary week or to go to one of our spectacular shows like the show at Chatswood Concourse for the Sydney Comedy Festival. But, yeah, you'll have a chance.
Oh, tickets are $10 or 2 for $20.
Special discount, 3 for $30.
For 6 for 6.
The topics this week are traitor, Las Vegas, ferrets, showbags, clouds, Adelaide, tacos, yoga, fire ants. Ooh, that's a bit serious. Cane toads, regurgitate. Who did that? Who got I? Get out. Giraffe, is that right? Giraffe, principal, and Argonaut. Which ones fill you full of fear,
Tommy?
Fear.
So you know what I want? I very much want tacos to come up so we can have a very long talk about how people pronounce tacos.
So how am I supposed
taco.
To say?
Taco.
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 All right.
Tacos.
Okay, tacos.
I got taco, mate. I got some tacos, mate.
Here we go. Round and round and round it goes. Where it starts, no one knows. But today's topic is yoga.
Tacos.
No, yoga. Yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga. Yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga.
Or yoga.
Yoga.
It's the sauce you put on tacos.
You got any yogurt, mate? Yogurt for the tacos.
Okay, first off, I don't know a lot about yoga. I know that it requires you to buy a very expensive ground cover. My wife is very much a fan of yoga. She goes twice a week. Mm-hmm. And so for Christmas, I had to get her some new yoga equipment, I believe was the word she used. Made it sound officious. So I got her a bamboo mat, which was $800.
What? Is it?
There is an argument that I paid
you
too much.
You could buy 80 tickets to Thank God It's Friday at Chatswood.
You could use the tickets as a yoga mat.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a proper, I mean, you know, it's made of, like, there's actual pandas on roller for you.
It comes with the yoga teacher.
Oh, it comes
teacher.
With the pandas. Yeah, they lay the out the bamboo for you.
But wouldn't the pandas...
And they pre-chew the edges so they're extra soft.
I'm just worried the pandas are going to eat the mat.
That's right. They just chew the edges. They fray the edges so they stick nicely. And you need blocks. There's blocks because there's exercises you do with blocks. And they have to have a properly beveled edge. And I paid for those, I believe, $620 for the pair. Quite a deal.
I say, having met her, Tommy Dean's wife is very attractive and nice.
She is very attractive and nice and flexible. Because when I pointed out to her some of the things that we could have bought with that money, I might be slightly wrong with my sums here. For those that are getting into...
Yeah, that actually cost $10.40.
It was a lot, though. I just remember, like, seeing the number. When you see a number, and it's a surprise. You know, like, when you want to buy something, and you're like, that's a surprise. Like we complain about the slow creep of things. Like, I have this coffee, and this coffee cost me $6, and that hurt my feelings. Because this same cup, not too long ago, was $4.
Yeah.
But it's only, it's only $6. You know, but then you look at something and
Could you lie awake and do some mathematical calculations
all day
on
long? Like, we had to get a vacuum, just a thing to pick up some junk around the house, $1,500. But it's a kind of vacuum that's very lightweight and allows me to present myself to the sun with each and every, stretchy stroke. Is that the right word?
Like a salutation, if you will.
That's right. I don't know any yoga terms at all.
Yep. Right.
Oh, that's the worst part about this. I know the only one I can think of is downward dog, and that sounds naughty.
I think the downward dog's flying virgin.
Yeah, I just don't. And the upside down. But it's the gear. And you know what the worst part is? Is I wanted to get involved for a short time. I thought it might be helpful to me to learn the stretches and realities. And so I decided to teach myself a little bit. Like I always do on YouTube. I don't know if you know this, but on YouTube, yoga is code for porn.
Actually, it's not, Tommy. It's a lot of people use YouTube for actual yoga.
Well,
maybe it's your computer.
I don't know. I just said yoga, and I now have an entire feed on my YouTube channel. It's a series of women whose shirts have shrunk. who love to stretch in the sideways way and for some reason leave the mirror on behind them. It doesn't feel like yoga the way it was meant to be. I'm just saying, it felt like it was supposed to relax and let me stretch out. And in fact, now I am tense. I am tense and all the wrong parts of me are stretching out. I don't like it. I don't like the pants. The pants are too tight. I don't understand yoga pants making the leap to casual fashion around town. Yeah, I find that a
people
bit
people doing
curious.
Shopping in their yoga pants.
They do. It's you know, I used... No, I can't say that.
Let's just say I don't like it. move on. But I think the idea of it, of course, is nice. But you know, the whole YouTube is porned out on everything. Yoga, porn. You can't even pottery. I thought about doing pottery. Porn. Mm. Porn.
But there was that film, wasn't there?
That's probably what started it. But now try look up any pottery wheel, and it's just boobs and riding the stool. What happened is making a nice pot.
Are you putting the word naked in front of every one of your searches? Because I think that's what's happening, Tommy. Naked yoga, naked pottery.
That did not occur to me. Are you saying that was my mistake?
I think that might be a mistake.
I just wanted purity. Just give me nude yoga. You know, I just thought that'd be
true.
Better. Like it's the juice that I drink.
Yeah.
Naked
juice.
Nudie juice.
Naked juice. What was I thinking?
But anyway, point is, it's expensive.
It's expensive.
But here's the other part. Yeah. I went once, and here is, and you know, the hard part is when the mysticism of the Eastern art of yoga meets the Western diet. They are not compatible. And as much as I want to lengthen my muscles and strengthen my core and become a better person, that much relaxation leads to embarrassment. And there's no way around it. And so I went once, and then the teacher and I had a discussion, and we agreed that it probably wasn't the pandas making that noise.
Tommy Dane, thank God it's Friday. Did he die? Did he die? Oh, he lived. We have with us Tommy Dane, Gary Eck, Jennifer Wong, and our lovely audience. Thank you for coming. On ABC Local Radio. Now, in the UK, a theatre company has decided for two nights to ban white people from the audience so the black audience members can enjoy the show without being subject to the white gaze. Fair enough, of course. Wouldn't criticise it, of course. But what other people, other than white people, should be banned from theatres, cinemas and concerts? Gary Eck.
Well, I mean, the idea is kind of appealing to have a night just designated to particular types of people. So rather than, you know, everyone just turning up, mm-hmm. you just have night. Like, I hate it when you go to the cinema and there's a really tall person that sits in front of you, you know, and they happen to have an afro as well and they're 6'8" and you just go, oh, my God, what are the chances? But if you just had a night just for tall people. So all the tall people just go, that's their night.
And they could see each other over each other's heads because they're tall themselves.
That's right. Yeah. It'd be annoying if there was the tallest person in front of the tall person. Yeah. Or you have a night just for short people, right? So they just go, or people that just text during movies. Like, that's their night, you know? Or people make phone calls. They just go to
so
that.
So is the short night a little bit like Luna Park where you have to fit?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Under the little...
There'll be a, you must be this short or this tall.
What if you rake to the audience? You know, that's called the rake, the angle of the seats up in the theater. What if you rake to the audience? Like, everybody...
That's rake night. I've got that.
It's rake night. Yeah, so rake all the short night. People have to sit up front, tall people up the back.
Well, that's when you mix the tall and the short together. Because I have short night, tall night, and then the rake night, which is a combination.
Yeah.
And middle people as well. So
middle
night.
Does Gary get to move up three aisles?
I have Gary night as well, just all Garys.
Yeah. Oh,
your name has to be Gary to get into the cinema. Yeah, yeah.
And it makes it much more social because you'd be like, hi, Gary. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, hey, Gary. Hey, Gary. Hey, Gary. And what name have you reserved the ticket? Gary. 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 Well, we already sold that ticket.
This is my plus one.
Plus one. This is my plus one. I'm Gary, so is my wife. So Gary night, you can have all sorts of nights. You know, those people that go to see a movie and they're a little whispering. They always go, oh, I've seen this. The guy, this is the guy who's coming up. He stabs the other guy. Oh, he's the guy in the back. He's the murderer. Or he's the one.
I saw that actor in that other film. I can't remember the name of it. But you know,
let
that
me
one
text someone. Let me text someone and then call them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then get that answer. Yeah. You have that night just for those idiots, right? That's idiot night, Richard. It just goes on and on. And then you have night for people who turn up late, and then they want to squeeze in through the middle of. To get in their seat, and everyone has to get up for that idiot. Mm. That's called idiot late night.
Mm. Late night.
As you can see, I'm making them up right now.
No, because you say I'm going to a late night screening, and they say, "Oh, what time does it start?" And you say 6 p.m.
Yeah, well, that's
But it's for late night.
It's for late night. Yeah, and I have a special night for people who don't turn up. This is empty. Yeah, no one
I
there.
Call that festival night. Festival.
That's an in-joke, I mean, I just did. But for comedians that put on shows, no one turns up.
Jennifer Wong, who else? If they're going to have a white night, what else do they do?
I'm actually pretty tolerant about who goes to things like, you know, at the movies. I think it's part of the experience that you do have the person saying, is he the bad guy? And then you can think about it for yourself.
Okay, come on, we've got zero tolerance of the popcorn people, though, don't we?
Oh, I think it's all part of the experience. Really? I think going to the movies is a test of your patience and virtue as a person.
What about the people with the crinkly chip packet?
Yes.
And the softer they try to do it, the louder it is somehow.
That's right. I think I told you once, Richard, that this happened to me at the movies, and the woman was so irritated by the person on my row who was, you know, trying to open their packet of chips for seemingly 30 seconds. And she just said, Russell, Russell, Russell. And I was like, how does she know his name? But I don't know. I'm very tolerant. I think the line that I draw is when you're at a concert. My friend told me she went to a concert at the Opera House the other night, a classical music concert, and people now are so rude that they take photos with flash during the concert. And I think that's where you draw the line, is that you can't do that. I think if someone has spent their entire life learning how to play the violin, a little respect.
Okay, no flashes.
Yeah, a little respect. No flashes. Yep.
Tommy Dean, if they're going to ban white people from the theatre, who else should they ban?
Look, it's weird to put it across racial lines, so I wasn't keen to do that. But I do like less white people. That would be good.
Yeah. Sam Kerr, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Kerr. Good to have on the panel.
You know what they need, and I understand what they're getting at, because there is a certain freedom to the African-American community that is just amazing. And if you have never seen a movie with them, it is like being in church. It is stunning. Like, I grew up in a very African-American part of Florida when I was a young man. And going to the movies and to church, it's the same. They're in the movie as the movie is happening. And it's one of the most electric and exciting movies to watch. So
cheering and booing and...
Yeah, they should cheer, boo, yell. What are you doing up there? You got to get out. You got to get out. It's alive. It's alive. It is. It's amazing. So I think we should be allowed like a small section so we can understand. Wouldn't it be great if we, you know, knew how to live out loud?
Yeah,
it's a lesson to us. That would be good. But generally, I'm against the intolerance. You know what I really want to ban is I don't understand when movies crossed over to full meals. Like, you shouldn't be allowed. I don't want to smell KFC in the theater.
Yeah.
I just think that is a
terrible. But popcorn has a smell.
It does, but popcorn's been around for so long, it's ubiquitous. I kind of understand. That's kind of been there. I understand the anger.
No, I'm angry. I'm angry.
I know you're angry, but by the same token, it's how I understood the horrors of World War II. well, because I have no experience with it. You know, like nobody in my family ever served in any sort of, you know, terrible war. So, you know, I'm aware of it intellectually, but I've never been or affected by a war directly in my life. So I had a popcorn that I had paid, you know, like $27 for when I was watching Saving Private Ryan. And then during that crazy beach scene at the front, they're all just like war. And you're like, well, this would have been quite terrible. But, you know, I don't feel it. I can imagine it intellectually, but I can't feel it. And then I slipped and my popcorn fell and dumped out all over the floor. And I thought, medic! My best friend was dead. I was trying to scoop his guts back into him. Why can't I get any help here? And that's when I knew that war was hell.
Yeah, good. Glad that realization came. We're with Tommy Dean, Gary Eck, and Jennifer Wong. By the way, Jennifer Wong is part of the Sydney Comedy Festival too. Her Sweet and Sour Hour of Power will play the Sydney Comedy Festival in May. That's a good title. Sweet and Sour Hour of Power.
Thanks, Richard. I actually think now that maybe to reflect my interests better, maybe I should have named it the Sweet and Sour Hour of Power Naps. But it's too late now.
And you could have done all your sleeping stuff.
That's right. It could have just been the four of us going through the alphabet every night.
What's the show about?
It's about me trying different exercise and well-being trends.
Okay, not yoga.
I have tried a type of yoga called sound bath yoga, where they play different like sounds and then you kind of rest while the sounds are kind of bouncing off the walls. So that was one thing I tried.
Well, that sounds pretty easy going. No stretching involved?
No. It's actually, I showed up wearing my exercise clothes and realized I should have actually just worn my pajamas. It was that relaxing.
That sounds like a yoga for you, Tommy. Finally, it's been
invented. That's what I mean. It also tells me that people use the word yoga in a lot of ways. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like doing nothing at all.
Doing nothing at all.
Sleeping.
I'm going to go to my yoga job.
Who are the winners and losers of the week, Gary?
Well, I'm going to say the loser is X, formerly known as Twitter, because I'm waiting. When are they just going to call it X? Because I'm tired of just reading X, formerly known as Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just dumb. It's just called X. I mean, except the name.
But the website still says Twitter, right?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Because that's the address.
Mm. Yeah, but just call it X. Like, if change your name, Richard, to John, you'd
but
be
But I'm
John,
very right? against companies changing their name and expecting us all to change suit just because they... I still call it the Bank of New South Wales. I love it. If I'm going to Melbourne on Qantas, it's TAA, damn it. I'm not interested.
Yeah, what time is the Ansett flying, by the way?
Post something with a PNG. You know, I'm not going to change just because they say.
That's true. And look, my winner is...
By the way, you're listening on 2BL.
2BL, yeah. Everyone got their crystal radio sets out and your manual car, Richard. He has a rotary phone at home, Richard. He still insists on using a rotary phone. But and my winner, I think... I'm going to say Rupert Murdoch. He's getting...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was you, wasn't it? Oh, damn it.
I never think about this, and I thought about it once. And I...
Don't worry, he'll get married again.
Yeah. Save it for next week.
Totally. I mean...
He's getting married again, right?
Fifth time. And I mean, usually when you have those vows when you get married, you know, until death do you part, I mean, you don't really think about it. But in his case, I think the vows are not long soon, not long now.
Well, here's my theory was I thought the winner would be, I escaped her name. I apologize. It says Kova. Anyway, his fiance is a molecular biologist. And so I thought she's the winner because I'm assuming
Elena.
She's getting into this for research.
Who was the loser then?
That's my theory.
Oh, that was a good joke. Yeah, it was a good joke. So the same winners and
same winners.
Different jokes.
Different jokes.
Different jokes.
So you've both got a loser. The audience is a winner. Have you both got a loser for me?
I think I said Elon Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. X. And Tommy, who's your loser?
Oh, the loser is all of America. The Super Tuesday has gone past, and just when you thought things couldn't get stupider, they got stupider. We've got some North Carolina problems. We've got some Arizona problems. We have got some right-wing problems. We have got some Alabama problems. We have got some national Christian right problems. Ladies and gentlemen, America is not long for it, so if you want to go, go now.
Winners and losers. Jennifer Wong.
There's a library in Massachusetts that's they've told their members, if you've lost or damaged a book, you can come and get your library card reactivated if you bring in a photo or a drawing of a cat. I guess the library was feline generous.
Or did they just want to add to their catalogue?
Yes, that's perfect, Richard. Perfect. Oh, and the loser of the week for me, I don't know if you guys saw that in Cooma, the big trout got a new paint job with a lot of bright pink, and the locals hate it. They've called it hideous.
Yep.
As they said, it's like something you'd see at a theme park, and I guess ultimately Salmon has to take responsibility for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been so understanding. Please thank Tommy Dean, Gary Eck, and Jennifer Wong. Remember to book yourself in for Chatswood Concourse as part of the Sydney Comedy Festival. Next week, Colin Buchanan, Gene Kitson and Tommy Dean music from South Coast singer-songwriter Tall Sean. Until then, I'm Richard Glover. Thank God it's Friday! Yeah.